Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
With us Wednesdays on the eve of Thanksgiving, a lot of rivalry games coming up. Brett, let's start with news up close to you and Penn State with a new 10-year deal for James Franklin. How's that being received?
Yeah, I'd say it's mixed emotions up here from the Penn Staters that I've been talking to. You know, it was kind of a distraction about a month ago during the season back in October. Penn State was really heating up their season. They were ranked in the top five, but the headlines were all about James Franklin interviewing out at USC. Behind the scenes, we didn't know if they were confirmed or not. A lot of rumors, just a big distraction for the team. So the assumption was that he was gone. And then to see this big headline, the 10-year deal, the huge money extension, kind of shocked the fans. So, you know, and like I said, mixed emotions because the positive of it is they've recruited really well under James Franklin, better than Penn State normally would given the geography of it. But that hasn't converted into as many Big Ten titles or playoff spots as they'd have liked. So, and then also another thing is after Joe Moorhead left, that was their big Big Ten run back in 2016. After Moorhead moved on, they haven't been back since. So there's questions about him as a staff builder. Or as a play caller and such. So I'd say it's mixed, but definitely a shock.
Your thoughts on the selection committee's recent release. And let me just tell the audience, Brett, I'm not lying. I am not saying this for the show. While you were just talking, I pulled that list up for the first time. I had not even seen it. Go ahead, your thoughts.
Yeah, not too much to worry about the committee's rankings this week. You know, and we use the phrase a lot, but it'll play itself out. You essentially have two quarterfinals this week. You have Ohio State, Michigan. The winner wins the Big Ten East, and what we think would beat Wisconsin and basically make the playoff. So that's one. And then Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State in Bedlam. The winner has a direct route into the playoff, we think. So it's just a year where there's not an overwhelming amount of caliber teams that would usually make the playoffs. So not many undefeated teams or one loss. So, you know, the pool is starting to thin. And, you know, the headliner also is Cincinnati at four. So right now they're in, you know, on the bracket there at number four. And the question is, will they be jumped by the Big 12 winner with one loss? I think they would. But then, of course, you have Georgia-Bama maybe knocking out Bama. So, a lot to play out. I'm fine with it this week. You know, their problem with the Michigan State dilemma that's gone now, given the blowout in Columbus last Saturday. So not too much to worry about right now with that.
The thinking was Notre Dame would be number six, which they are. Give us your view on their chances.
Yeah, Notre Dame, when you break down their resume, nothing really pops out. I mean, they beat Wisconsin. That's a solid win now. Wisconsin's in the rankings. But from there, a lot of their usual teams that they play are having down seasons. And that really isn't Notre Dame's fault, but that's just the reality of it, where, you know, they usually stack the schedule there with the USC and Stanford, the California teams. You know, and then you see USC, they fired their coach in September. Stanford's three wins right now. And then their ACC group of teams they played, it's a down year for the conference. It's not Notre Dame's fault, but that's just the reality. Teams like Virginia Tech, they went through a coaching change. You know, Toledo, teams like this, you know. So they started the season kind of slow with a lot of one-score wins, giving them credit for winning. Now they've really rounded into form. I don't want to overlook that. They're playing great football right now. I think just everyone's first assumption and perception of them was that they were barely surviving back in September. It's a solid team. But I think that if they end up making the playoff, it would be more by default. It would be kind of they backed into it. Rather than going for a big gauntlet of big wins. And that's not, again, it's not their fault. That's just how their schedule unfolded. They also don't have that conference title piece that everyone else is going to be playing for on the first Saturday of December. So that comes into it too. But it's a year, like I said, there's just not enough quality playoff caliber teams. So they might just find themselves in that bracket again.
West Coast Sooner asks, Brett, your thoughts on Oklahoma State getting in. Now, obviously, they've got to win Bedlam, which Gundy, as good as he's been at his alma mater, does not win Bedlam very often. But let's just say they win this game. You think they're in?
Yeah, I really like Oklahoma State. And this is a team that kind of caught my eye about a month ago. Similar to Notre Dame, start the season, Oklahoma State barely surviving. They beat an FCS team by 7. I think Tulsa was one score. A lot of close wins. They were surviving. Now that the dust has settled, to be there with one loss, they're very well in the playoff picture. In the last month or so, they're playing great football. I mean, my game grader formula, they've moved all the way up into the top four. They're blowing out teams. The yardage differential is impressive. But it's kind of the anti-Oklahoma State. It's the anti-Gundy. And what used to be kind of an air raid, high-scoring, high-paced offense that would win 65-62, kind of the opposite now. It's a lockdown defense under Jim Knowles, the longtime Duke coordinator. He pieced together a great unit again. Defense first. It's a power run game, ball control. You know, it's kind of like Iowa in the Big 12, a better form of Iowa. So I'm really impressed with them. I think they beat Oklahoma tomorrow. On Saturday, and that would give them a rematch with Baylor in the Big 12 title game. I think they win as well and head to the playoffs. So right now, I would for them as a playoff bid.
He is 2-13 as the head coach in Bedlam. It's been very difficult. Here's another item, and very sad. Gundy this week said that when Oklahoma assumes their SEC partnership, so to speak, he does not think that game will get played anymore. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be a shame for college football. I mean, look, we talked about this back in the summer. Me and you, I think we're on the same page where we understand the money of the game, and we understand that's what's driving this, TV contracts and the money. But it is a shame to be with all these in-state rivals, these rivals, the regionality of the sport, which makes it unique to any other. So this is just the latest cause of it. I mean, with Oklahoma, Texas moving on, you break all those old Big Eight rivalries Oklahoma had. You lose some of those Southwest Conference rivalries that Texas had. Yeah, they get Arkansas and A&M back, but some of the collateral damage is you're losing Bedlam, one of the best in-state games out there. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I don't think that that's Gundy being, you know, being a rival or being some kind of trying to inflate something. I think it's just the numbers of it. I mean, you have 12 games. Usually 9 of them are in a conference. It's just it's tough to have that as an annual game. We'll see what happens, but that would be a shame. And you're right about Gundy coaching it conservatively. I mean, there's times where they're the underdog, they get blown out. There's times when they're the favorite and they get blown out in the series. So, but the good news for him is a conservative play calling is kind of how they go this year. That's kind of the style. So he's right into state strength this year. I think the year they break through. You've seen Oklahoma barely surviving week to week, and I think the Cowboys get it done.
Brett Cianci of Pick 6 Previews with us. Ohio State and Michigan in the Big House on Saturday. What kind of shot do you give the Maize and Blue?
Well, they certainly have a shot. They have a better shot than Michigan State. I know that doesn't say much, but on paper heading into this one, I mean, Michigan, they're the top five of a lot of my metrics I use to predict games. You know, the yardage differential, scoring margins, the per-play numbers, you know, the explosive plays on defense. They do a really nice job. There's a lot to like. So I think they're a more complete team than Michigan State. I can say that now that Michigan State got their second loss and not get the beat for it. But, no, I mean, it's going to be strength on strength when Ohio State has the ball. It's that great Ohio State offensive line. You know, it features three All-American candidates up front going up against the top two pass rushers in the conference, the top two sack getters. You know, with Ajabo and Hutchinson on defensive end of Michigan. So that's a strength on strength right there. You know, we talked about Michigan's running back duo there of Corum and Haskins going up against an Ohio State defense that's been hot and cold. They started the season, they were ran all over by Oregon and Minnesota, but they've rounded into form now. So I still pick Ohio State. I pick them with that 7 or 8 points, but it should be a competitive ball game.
Alabama and Auburn, your thoughts?
I think Alabama rolls here. Now, Auburn without their quarterback, without Bo Nix. I'm not sure if he's still out for this week, but you saw they were a shell of their team that was used to being last week, losing to South Carolina. That's an ugly loss. My congrats to Shane Beamer, but I thought Auburn should have been winning that game, that caliber of game. So I think Alabama gets it done. They also have playoff aspirations and SEC West, SEC title aspirations, while Auburn is kind of stuck there. So I think Alabama rolls there.
Brett Cianci, a pick six previews. We were talking yesterday on the show with Brad Powers. The Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, might be the best game of this last regular season weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be very intriguing. When both these coaches were hired a couple cycles ago, we had two unique personalities coming into the SEC West, into the state of Mississippi, but really two outlier offenses coming in. So to see them now, hitting a stride as offense is going to be great to watch. You have a Heisman caliber quarterback at Ole Miss with Matt Corral. Over Mississippi State, they're putting up a ton of points in yardage with Will Rogers as their quarterback and a stable of receivers. So, yeah, I'm really intrigued to see this one. It's Thursday night. Most of the country talks about their NFL games on Thursday. You know, all of us, the Bill King Show listeners, we're ready for that Egg Bowl. We're looking forward to 8 o'clock, not the noon or the 4. So excited for that. But yeah, and also I've been doing this on Twitter since 2012. You know, Steve Palo was on the close first one. The Egg Bowl is right up there. I mean, it's really, to me, it's BYU, Utah, Carolina, and Clemson, and then the Egg Bowl in terms of the most passionate, bitter fan bases going back at each other all year. I mean, this is a 365-day rivalry, so I'm excited to see it in action.
Brett, what are your plans for Thanksgiving, juggling all the games, et cetera?
Yeah, well, Thursday we have at my parents' place. They host every year. It's 26 people coming in, so we got a record here. As you can imagine, it's quite the production of turkeys and pies being made. So we'll all be helping out, all hands on deck on Wednesday and Thursday. By the time the weekend rolls around, it's leftovers. It's the greatest Saturday of the year, in my opinion, Rivalry Saturday. You have conference titles falling into place, and playoff outlook, but more so just the in-state rivals, the crosstown rivals. A lot of them are cross-conference now, but excited for this day, Rival Saturday. But And want to give a shout-out to all the listeners and you, Bill, and Patton, for having me on the season. I'm very thankful for that. Hope you guys have a great holiday and get to either meet you at this commitment or the one next year. I know that's up in the air, but looking forward to connecting with everyone in person as well as email and DM. It's been a great year and very thankful for that.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
See you, Bill.
There he is, Brett Cianci.